Yes, indeed, it is real. It is the Nick D experience, Nick D off, as you know this week. I am Mark Carmen with you tonight. Happy to be here. It's actually a moment of history for me right now as I look on the other side of the glass. Dan Shugrue, of course, the longtime producer of The Overnight. And Dan, how long have we known each other? Have you thought about that at all? Just because we have been at this station, I can tell you how long, but I'm wondering if you realize how long we've known each other and have never, ever done a radio show together. Now, I think that's because perhaps you're a very wise man and you realize that this is not good for you. And this is going to be a long 2 hours and 50 minutes left. But we have what year do you think we started working together? Because you have been here now a couple of days, sir.
Right. So I started part-time in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Went full-time in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Were you 2010? Was that you?
See, I knew that you didn't know this relationship the way I knew it. Like, we need a Facebook moment. You see that thing that's going around?
Right.
You know, like, it was Shanae and Jackie had a nice 8-year thing going on. We have known each other since 2007. July. I started August of 07.
Wow.
August of 07. I mean, that's 9 solid, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
think about that. No one has ever worked at a radio station longer and done absolutely nothing together than me and you.
That is probably very true. And the funny thing is, one of the feathers in all of our caps is, like, you've done every shift at this radio station as when, you know, you're part-timer. You literally sleep here and have done, you know, like, shifts, like, within 3 hours of each other. So it is kind of amazing that we've never crossed paths.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
You have avoided me better than I've avoided myself, and that's saying something there.
I even followed you to Kansas City for a few years and worked at other radio stations while you were with the Royals, and, you know.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Okay. I was like, what? Dan, you were in Kansas City, you didn't say hi? Those were great years. The 09 to 11 Kansas City Royals are about to get good, and then I'm going to get fired before they get good years. But those were the years.
You didn't still get a ring for your time served?
I did not. I do feel minorly attached to that Royals team. And now that Wade Davis, say, one of those Royals that won a ring, although he wasn't there when I was there, is now a Chicago Cup. But anyway, I wanted to start the show and just say thank you for all the support you have provided behind the scenes to upper management back in, you know, the long ago days of Tom Langmuir and Bob Schomper, who I used to call Langy and Schompy, as I banged on Tom Langmuir's door, please let me on the air, please let me on the air. No, you will go somewhere else, sir, and hone your skills before we ever do that, which I always appreciated. By the way, he was very direct in his assessment of what I needed to do, and I eventually, after many knocks on the door, finally listened and said, okay, fine, I'll go to Kansas City.
Well, since we're being all heartwarming and really touchy, I had mentioned to my wife that I was going to be working with you tonight, and she was very excited. So, because we'll take you back here a little bit to the Cap and Haw days when you were filling in for David or David.
Yeah.
And you guys were on Comcast Sportsnet in the morning from 9 a.m. to noon.
In this very seat.
In this very studio.
Yep.
And you guys were on the air the first couple months of my daughter's life.
Oh, wow.
She was born May 2015. So our morning routine was I would get home from work and I would be putting up the podcast from home and sending emails and things like that. And at 9 o'clock, we would flip over to you guys. And so here I am with my, you know, 2-month-old daughter, my wife, and me watching you guys. And it was this nice little moment we had every morning watching you guys and you know, feeding the baby and talking and being new parents and being on a lack of sleep. So so my wife learned a lot about sports during that time period. So she's just like, because that was when LeBron had willed the Cavaliers to the final, and you guys were talking about how, you know, he had the worst supporting cast in finals history, you know, the year before they won it. And so she's just like, I'm like, I'm learning a lot from Mark and Dave and all those guys, and now here we are.
That's a beautiful thing. That was a fun show to do, man. That was always a little thrill to come home and occasionally I would take the time to watch it back. What could I do better? And look at that. Isn't that cool that I get to be on TV with Cap or David Haw, who wrote a piece, actually, that we're going to slightly get into in a little bit here, which is the way I'm spinning it, at least. Why did you go to college? Because, and we actually could start there since you brought it up that way. We could flip it around. I'll get to get to the reasons why I was right, damn it, despite everybody talking me down in a little bit here. But so, since you brought up David Haw, there are a couple guys out there who are getting a lot of attention around the world. They're two college football players. Don't worry, this is not an over-the-top sporty The Beat Saturday afternoon conversation. But there's two guys out there. Their names are Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey. One plays for Stanford, one plays for LSU. And they're both in college football bowl games. And if you're an old-school guy, you remember when bowl games were a big deal. And now they're less of a deal, especially when you're playing in bowls like the Sun Bowl and the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, and you're not playing for a college football championship and all that. So these guys are not playing in their college's bowl games because they're going to the NFL, and they want to protect their bodies. They're running backs. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get their knees clipped. They don't want anything bad to happen that would impact their draft status. Leonard Fournette's going to be a top five pick, which means he's going to make $3-4 million a year to start. And Christian McCaffrey's going to be probably an end of the first round, early second round guy. So still making over $1 million a year. And so what Haw was writing about is that it's their right and he gets it, but he hates it. Because he played for Ball State and he played in a bowl himself, and he'd, you know, give all the money in the world to go play in that bowl again and have that experience. And so it just made me think, why in the world do people go to college? All right, Dan, did you go to college?
I did.
And where did you go to school?
I went to Bradley University.
Okay, now why did you go to Bradley University?
I went to Bradley University to learn my craft. They had one of the best communication departments in the state and country.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the hopes of learning that, to get a job.
To get a job?
To get a job.
That's your... Okay. So you knew when you went down to Bradley that you wanted to be in radio?
Yes.
And you were going to follow that path?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just,
for better or worse.
I'm just trying to get the smell test going on here. To, because you are working in the business.
I am working in the business.
For a long time now.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to debunk what you just said.
Right.
That you were that focused as a young Dan Shugrue, 17, 18 years old. This is what I want to do. Had you already worked, like, had you done, like, high school newspaper type of stuff?
I had done high school newspaper stuff. I knew since my freshman year of high school that I wanted to do radio.
Okay.
So
now I want to know about the background there. What possessed you at such a young age to have such direction?
Well, you know, and this might be a fun thing to tell how we got the bug, but you may remember a sports broadcaster named Tommy Williams.
I love Tommy Williams.
Tommy Williams.
The big partner.
Yes, the big partner.
My man.
I met with my guidance counselor freshman year of high school. He says,
I love that you just referenced Tommy Williams out of nowhere. Show can't get any better. Go ahead.
So I meet my freshman year guidance counselor, and he says, you know, it's never too early to start thinking about the future and what you want to do and what you love and your passion and, you know, really finding what that is. So I'm you know, flash forward 3 or 4 hours. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm listening to Tommy Williams. And I'm doing my algebra homework, and he's having the time of his life. I'm not, because I'm doing math. And I was just like, that sounds like a lot of fun. That would be a job for me.
Tommy had a lot of fun, man. And that's cool that it came through the radio like that to you, because, I mean, that was basically what I was starting way back in the day. And I would, you know, rotating producer over at the Score when Tommy was on there. And he was one of the nicer guys that you could do a show with and had a lot of fun. Okay. The big partner got you interested. I get it. And I was, you know, I mean, when I was in high school, I wrote Dave Ennett a letter because he came to Focus on the Arts at good old Highland Park High School. I wrote him a letter, said, you know, I really want to be a sportscaster. Because I would listen, like most people my age, you would listen to Kopic on sports, and you loved Chet Kopic. And for me, I was a huge Bulls guy, so he would do the Doug Collins show and the Phil Jackson show on Monday nights. I'd call in. and scream about that Michael's better than Magic and Bird, even though everybody didn't realize what was going on. I saw the future there. Michael hadn't won a championship at that point. Nobody was giving him credit. At any rate, so I was like sports guy, but I didn't really think that I was going to – like I didn't have any actual vision of doing it. It was just kind of like I like gummy bears. I'm going to go buy a gummy bear. But, at some right, point right. I was going to like actually do something real. For me, when I went to college, I went for three reasons. One, I was going to try marijuana. Two, I was going to lose my virginity. And three, I was going to, because I was a terrible high school student, I was going to transfer to Iowa. That was my plan as a freshman going into school.
In that order?
Yes. Well, I would have put the sex one. Priority number one, sex. Priority number two, try weed. Three, go to Iowa. and put my terrible high school scholastic 4 years in the rearview mirror. Those are my three things, okay? And I'm proud to say, not necessarily in a very skillful way, but I accomplished all three.
Congratulations.
At the University of Hartford in Hartford, Connecticut, okay? Most people, I feel like they go to school, I'll get to my overall point here in a second, they go to school because that's what they were told. This is what you do when you're 18 years old. You graduate high school, and if you come from a background of any remote means, you're going to college next. You're not going into the Army. You're not going to get a job. This is what life has told you to do. You go to college now because someday you're going to get a job. Most likely you're going just because that's the thing that you do, and you'll figure it out at some point. These guys, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, they're one of the few who were super talented, who worked at their craft, and actually had a vision. I want to play in the NFL. This is my dream. I am following it. It would be like the same thing for you, Dan, if it said, hey, like if you were a junior and they had said, yo, Dan, you can go, I don't know, whoever, he worked for Tommy Williams if he was still working at that point.
Right.
Or you could go to whatever, New York, and work with Howard Stern or whoever you want to pick. Work with Nick D. He wants you right now. Who would stay in school at that point? Like, you wouldn't. And if you were going to, like, do one more radio show on campus when you don't have to prove anything,
and potentially lose my voice, which would be critical for my future earning potential.
Right. How could you blame these guys? And when I see young people who actually have direction and know where they want to go, I look at them like they're A, ahead of the game, B, I wonder like what type of guidance they've had to get to that point where they actually have their plan, like, because nobody does it alone, right? Very, very few people. You have to have some people in your life who are actually going to say, look, just like your guidance counselor was telling you, hey, the sooner you know what you want to do, hint, hint, you are better off, pal. And so when I see something like this where these guys are getting cracked on because they're taking care of themselves, I more look at it like, wow. Look at these guys. They went to school, both of them. I mean, Leonard Fournette is a freak talent. I mean, this guy is off the charts talented. But still, there's a ton of guys who are super athletic and don't do anything with it. He was focused enough to get it done. And then Christian McCaffrey's going to Stanford, and he's going to the NFL. So it's like, I look at people like you also boiled down. I wrote down reasons to go to college. A, to get a good education. There's some people that have that. B, to have a lot of fun. I feel like there's a lot of people that look at it like that. C, to grow up, mature, figure out yourself away from home. I think that's a big thing for most, right? D, to get a good job. E, all of the above. These guys, like, they hit everything. I'm going to, and maybe you could argue, well, they didn't go for an education. Well, maybe their education was in athletics. They mastered in athletics, which, by the way, if I was ever made a college curriculum administrator, which is a dream of mine, I just want to be on a college campus the rest of my life on some level. Just chill out.
Don't we all? I mean, right? Really, like, that is the life.
I mean, you're on campus, you're around young people, you get energized by that all the time, and you're living in a city where it's just probably not a whole lot of stress. There's that, make an okay living. It's a beautiful thing. If I was a college curriculum, I would add in the major is athletics. You get to focus on your body. You get to focus on what you're eating. You get to focus on how to manage your finances. You get to do a lot of actual practice at what you really football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. Because, I mean, a lot of people, how many people that you went to Bradley with who went into communications are actually doing communications now?
Unfortunately, I know of only like one or two.
Right, exactly. Nobody ends up doing what they major in college. You can't have a major in athletics. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You may get a little broader. Teach them how to deal with the media. Public speaking would be in there. Let's learn how to use social media. I mean, it could be one of the great majors of all time.
I mean, I think you would attract a lot of people, obviously. But I'm surprised more universities don't do that. I know one of our star volleyball players, she actually basically created her own major. It was for fashion design, but it was the type of thing where she worked with the university and she established like, all right, well, we don't have a fashion degree, but I'm going to take certain business courses. I'm going to take certain, I believe, engineering courses technically, because she had to learn about how things are made and things like that. And she graduated with her own degree. So why not do something like that for the people who, you know, this is what they're for? The interesting thing would be like a guy who maybe is a seventh round draft pick type, you know, should he really be majoring in athletics when probably his lifespan in the NFL is going to be, you know, a year if that.
Right. He probably shouldn't be. But, you know, people can make mistakes. And I don't know. I think that particular major should be incorporated to really actually, because there's a lot. Listen, the high level athletes who actually, maybe they don't end up playing in the NFL or the NBA or MLB or whatever, but they probably are going to end up doing something in sports. They'll probably end up being a coach. Maybe they'll go into the media around it. There's a million different ways. Maybe they'll end up being a trainer at your local gym and making a living doing that and starting their own, perhaps their own private practice. You never know. There's a million ways it can spin.
Well, and to your point, you know, one of my cousin-in-laws, she is a lawyer, and their law offices are just below the local NBA rep, and they deal with a lot of bankruptcies. And she's like, you would not believe the players that walk through our door completely broke, trying to figure out what happened.
Yep.
And trying to, you know, put their lives back together. So if they could get a business course telling them, like, hey, this is what you got to do, this is how you got to be smart with your money, I mean, that could go a very long way.
Yeah, and by the way, here are some options. This is what you, how you could it, right, do with your money. By the way, think about doing this, because somebody who is as physically talented as you, people are always going to want to be around you and work out with you as just a very low-level backup where you can make some dough. Backups are good. I like backups. We need that in the radio industry. I don't know if anyone's told you that, Dan. These jobs are not permanent.
This type of this is the showcase for the backups for a lot of shows, right? Because there's a lot of people filling in.
See here, people are texting in that Amy Guth is texting them saying that I should be a foot doctor. I don't believe you, sir, in the 724. Hey, it's 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. I am Mark Harmon. Nick D is off tonight with you till 5 in the morning. Reminding you that if you wish you were handier around the house, you can learn how to tackle those DIY projects, do it yourself, with some help from the local home experts, thank you. You can do it with Weekend Workbench, Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. Coming up after 2:30, I was right. I'll tell you how. It's a miracle. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, good morning. 2:35. Esmeralda, where'd you get this amazing radio education that you speak of?
I went to DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a radio place at all. And actually, when I went there, the radio station was pretty dismal. And when I started, it was right when they got a new teacher and everything started to, you know, they started building up with that. So I was kind of on the low level of it. But I went there because I studied communications, because I thought if radio doesn't work out, at least I'll have a communications degree from a 4-year school. so it doesn't look like I'm a bum.
Right. What were you going to do with that communications degree if radio didn't work?
I could do anything. Well, because it was general. It was radio, television, film. But, you know, you can do so much with communications.
I see. Vic Vaughn, I still see you sitting there. What were you going to do with your esteemed degree? From where did you go?
The Community College of the Air Force, the classes were offered by the University of Maryland. That's where my associate's degree from. But and then that was it for me. I finished out my military service and then went back later to the Illinois Media School right here in Chicago.
Wow. Wow.
To get into radio, to get an internship. Just like Esmeralda said, I went there for 2 years to get an internship at WGN Radio.
Yeah, I learned nothing in college in terms of radio. Maybe being at the station, the radio station, but there was no classes or anything that really did anything that I couldn't have learned about being at a radio station.
So if we prove it on this show right now that college is a scam, I think we have.
Not for everyone.
Dan, have we proven this?
You know, kind of, I think, indirectly. Because, Esmeralda, it's funny you mentioned the whole thing about, like, oh, I have a communications degree. I can apply to it. I was also a creative writing minor. And one of the things the English department hung their hat on was, at the time, something like half the Fortune 500 CEOs also had an English major, that, you know, by learning what it is to be human and, like, understand what people are really like, it allowed you to succeed in business over other people who may have just been studied business. It's like when they tell doctors not to study pre-med, study something else, and then just wait till medical school to learn about medicine. You know, it's just like, if you learn people, if you learn personalities, and to our point, if you know how to communicate with somebody, it goes a long way to being able to do stuff, you know? I got recruited by a sales professor. He's like, you could be a great salesman if you wanted to be, because you know how to talk to people. And I was just like, I have no interest in going to sales whatsoever. I was like, antithesis. But, you know, the it applies, you know? Like, Esmeralda could talk to anybody and, you know,
I'd buy whatever that coconut buttercream lotion that you're applying to your hands.
I didn't even talk to you about it.
Right, but you had so much passion the way you were getting it deeply ingrained into.
It's a little greasy. That's
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Kind of gotta get it in there.
Right. I get you. Okay. I got it. Hang on a second here, as I just trying to.
But I see what he means.
Right.
Because you can do whatever with that whole communicating business, and especially in college, they kind of teach you how to BS your way through a lot of things, writing papers and speeches and all that kind of stuff.
For you youngsters out there, if I can channel my inner Steve Stone from back in the day, you should. I like English. English is a good major. Vic Vaughn right now is writing. You're writing. If you went into a million different things, if you can actually know succinctly how to present the English language, use the English language, it probably will help you in a million different ways. I mean, I have a psychology degree. That's because the business department, you needed a 3.0, didn't have it. Communications, 2.5, didn't have it. What's next? Liberal arts? Okay, well, maybe I should try to figure out myself, because I'm not doing very well here at this school thing. So maybe I should try to figure out why. I'm going to get a psychology degree. Of course, I haven't quite used that per se, but it does. Understanding people does help. I've learned different things along the way from that. Do you believe me, Esmeralda? Psychology, that's the way to go.
I mean, you need it. You need psychology to talk to listeners.
There you go.
Right? Yes. Interviewers or interviewees.
Sure. Understanding people, it matters.
Have you ever put it to use, do you think?
I honestly think I put it to use more here than anywhere else. Especially when I'm sitting down and doing. There's a skill in connecting. Especially when you're sitting there one-on-one with, say, athlete or coach or whoever, and trying to figure out how to get the best out of them and to build a bond of trust. Craig Sager, who just recently passed away, TNT, the sideline guy. There's an interview that I did with him at Wrigley Field this summer. He was the master of that. Like, all these guys loved him. Now, how did he do that? Well, I think he never said anything bad about him, and that wasn't his job, was to, like, dig up dirt. But he also knew how to gain their trust. I think all of that is huge. And how, like, even in, like, if you're doing a show, like, you with a co-host sitting here with you right now, there's just a way in which, if you understand people, it can make you better on the air. That's kind of, I think, how it applies more than anything else. It's also to me, like, the psychology thing is, do you have connection with yourself? Do you understand what you're up against with how you go about your day? Everybody has their parts in their life that they're not that good at, that they have skill gaps in, how to motivate themselves to do those things. I think that's a huge part of psychology that doesn't get talked about a lot. If that makes any sense, yes.
Can I also say that I commend you for talking to athletes? Because when I was in college, we had a sports guy or whatever, and he would bring back, like, you know, I remember this one so clearly. It was Paul Konerko. And he was like, I'm Paul Konerko, you're listening to Radio DePaul or whatever. And it was just the most monotone, like, he was asleep, like, half asleep. I'm just like, what? Do you not have any kind of personality in your body right now?
Well, some do, some don't, right? I mean, just like anywhere else.
I commend you having to talk to and asking them questions, like trying to get an answer out of them.
Well, we're going to play an interview, I think, about 3:30 tonight. Rob Zastrzyzny, who was a guy that was on the very end of the Cubs bench. I haven't played this interview on the air since the World Series, so it's a little bit on the dated side, I suppose I could say. Not really, though. I mean, the Cubs World Series will never be dated. I know you're a Sox fan, Esmeralda. Don't get upset over there.
I'm a Flamingos fan.
Okay.
Flamingos
okay. Fan. So anyway, but Rob talks a lot about what we're talking right now, about how to perform under the glare, how to, and you don't have to be a professional athlete to, I mean, everybody has their areas in life where you're kind of, if you're new at your job, if you're stepping into something, you're not even necessarily new, but if you're learning a new skill, like he had to. This was a young guy who was coming into a locker room of highly accomplished guys on their way to the World Series, and how do you get belonging there? How do you fit in? How do you feel like, you know, you can perform when you're so new, and there's, like, every time you step out there's a huge spotlight on you. Who's this young guy? And by the way, your career's on the line, your financial life is on the line, and you're not the most talented guy in the room. You have enough talent, but you're not sitting there throwing 95-100 miles an hour like Aroldis Chapman. You're a dude that's got, compared to the people around you, marginal skills. You're right on the border. You can make it, you can't make it. So how do you get an edge upstairs that'll allow you actually to stay there? I thought there's some interesting stuff in there. How I was right, I'll do in a second, but since we have a little free form here, I'm sure you guys saw this story that's now making national news. It started out of the Daily Herald, and now CBS News is picking up. Man sues McDonald's over the value meal price, which is maybe the greatest story that I've ever seen in the history of stories. A suburban Chicago man suing McDonald's in two Illinois counties, arguing that the cheeseburger extra value meal are actually more expensive than when the items are purchased separately. Now, I don't know what this dude majored in college, but he was able to decipher that when he got his two cheeseburgers, medium fries, and a drink at his local McDonald's, and they charged him $5.90 for it on the value meal, that was actually 41 cents more than when he purchased those individual items. If he just went up there and said, let me get a cheeseburger, a medium fry, and a Coke, it was $5.49. And McDonald's was charging $5.90, all of it together. So James Gurdy, and if you're out there right now, James Gurdy, I really want to hear from you. James Gurdy of Des Plaines. Gurdy's driving a bus. He's going to McDonald's, and he's seeking a class action status for consumer fraud and deceptive practices against McDonald's operator Caris Management. James, let me tell you something. I love you. You have taken the time to decipher that you were getting screwed, for lack of a better word. You knew in the middle of your busy day, you sat there and thought it through when everybody else was just driving through every McDonald's around Des Plaines and just getting that number two, which was one of my favorites, by the way. I love the two cheeseburger, medium fry Coke. Great order. Love that order. You took the time to actually put the numbers together and realize that McDonald's, the big corporation, was coming right at you, James Gurdy. I think we should have a party for James Gurdy right now, 312-981-7200. James Gurdy is a hero. James Gurdy, sure, it's 41 cents, but that is not the point. Everywhere in our lives, someone's trying to take advantage of you. They're doing it right now. Gurdy feels it. Gurdy knows that he's probably getting paid more for his work. I know a lot of us feel that, right? You know there's more money in the coffers. They could pay Dan more. They could pay you more, Esmeralda, but they're not. Even if it was 41 cents more. Gurdy has had enough. Gurdy said, you know what? Not everybody is going to take the time that I'm going to take. And maybe I will order each thing individually, and I'll save that 41 cents. But the guy behind me, who loves that two cheeseburger meal, he's not going to take that time. So Gertie's going to get on the wall for that man and say, you know what? I've got you, buddy. You are not paying that 41 cents anymore. Not as long as James Gurdy is on this earth.
Now, who is the bigger hero? James Gurdy or the lady that sued because her coffee was too hot and therefore saved thousands and thousands of burns because the cup now says, caution, contents may be hot.
See, that whole thing, the hot cup of coffee woman, yeah, I don't like her. See, that person is like, dude, of course the coffee's hot. We all know, I mean, that's the take there, right? Come on. I mean, I can't even spin that in a fun way. Coffee's hot. It's on you. You should be thrown in. She should be almost thrown in jail for that lawsuit, wasting everyone's time. But Gurdy's going deep. I mean, we've been going psychology on this show. I can't believe what Gurdy's done. No one, this story, first of all, it's got 33 comments. National story, man sues McDonald's. And if you want to, I mean, as we get to the end of 2016 and you're looking for a hero, James Gurdy's at the top of my list. Louis Ballantyne, 9 hours ago. Well done, Mr. James Gurdy. See? People are... Now, other people are trying to talk Gurdy down. It's not fraud if you can add. Well, who in the world is going up to the McDonald's value window, or whatever, forget the value. Who goes up to the McDonald's drive-thru and actually thinks they got to add everything up? I mean, that's not what life is about. You trust. You have faith. That your corporations that you're dealing with, you know, this isn't a used car sale. Which, by the way, I was given the tip on how to do that. The used car sale. You go in there. If you're going to buy a new car or a new used car, certified, the old thing. What do they say nowadays? Certified pre-owned. Yeah. The pre-owned certified. The big move. This. What do they do when they certify the pre-owned? What does that
An
even mean?
86-point inspection, I believe, if I remember the commercials correctly.
The old 86-pointer? Okay. I mean, when you go in there, this is what I was told you do. You go in, you find out what's the price of this vehicle. You don't talk about trade-ins. And then, when they give you the actual price of the vehicle, then you say, well, how much are you going to give me for my clunker that I drove in here with? That's when you throw that in there. And then you get the real price of the actual car, the real price of your car. Huh?
That's good advice.
Huh?
I am impressed that I would have never thought of that.
Gurdy is it led me to tell you that. I'm Joe.
Somewhere in your past, another version of Gurdy gave you that information.
Yes. Joe B. writing in on Gurdy. If he runs for president, I'm voting for him. That's what I'm talking about. Tell me right now, between Donald Trump, even if you could bring back Hillary Clinton or James Gurdy, if Gurdy ran versus Trump and Hillary, or let's just forget about Hillary. She's yesterday's news. She's done. Let's put Gurdy up against Trump right now in the Electoral College. Are you not telling me that Gurdy wouldn't take it? I would ride Gurdy to the moon. Jeff's in South Austin says, now my Big Mac will cost $6 instead of $5. Give him his 41 cents and a kick in the and call it a day. He got his 15 minutes of fame. McDonald's hamburgers are good, but they're overwhelmed by the bun these days. Now, people are going deep on this. Like, less meat on the McDonald's burger. I haven't noticed a change in that.
You know, I will say, I've gotten breakfast, and it's come out to like $9. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, what happened? And then, that's a great point.
Mind you, I get like extra hash browns, and then I get the upcharge of the orange juice, but still, like, what?
Right. Since when is the Egg McMuffin value meal, which used to be $4, how did it go to $7? That was a huge zoomer. Out of nowhere, the thing doubled. I'm like, is this a joke?
And if you do get it separate, I think it is cheaper. So.
Is that true?
I think so, but then, you know, you don't get the coffee or whatever.
Oh, my. See, this is one thing that Gertie's going to bring to the surface here. The lines are going to take longer because you're going to... At this point, I might as well make, and I hate to do this to the drive-thru workers because that's not a job that I would want to do, and that's I always am super nice because that's, think about how many jerks they run into all day long. But it's kind of tempting to be like, all right, well, can you price those individually for me? Can I get the Gertie special
here? Well, you can. They're on the separate menu.
Yeah, but okay, it's a lot. You're in your car.
You're hungry.
You just want to say... Give me a number two.
Right. I mean, come on.
Well, then suck it up and pay those 41 cents extra.
Yeah, but there should be a, there's a, this is what Gertie's talking about. What did Gertie call it?
Well, that's the question
then.
God,
do I love Gertie.
Is the 41 cents worth you taking the time to figure out how much it's going to cost you, or are you just going to whatever and pay the meal?
I think sometimes it is. Sometimes I just want my food. I'll pay 41 cents to save me 30 seconds of talking. I'll do that.
312-981-7200. Has Gertie uncovered one of the great, great, unfortunate scams in all of society?
So looking at the order, I think it's the pop that's the problem.
Is it the pop?
Because when you can order the pop a la carte. That's because I will often go to McDonald's just if I've got a taste for like a Sprite, I will go to the drive-thru and just order a medium Sprite. And it's $1.11 with thanks to our wonderful taxes, which we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Yes, we will.
But yeah, I think that's the problem because, you know, between what I always like, well, why is it $1 a la carte? You know, shouldn't it be $1 period? Just. It should be $1 per meal, too, then, in theory.
Absolutely.
But they always focus on the a la carte when they were promoting the fact that you could just buy it. So I think it's those three things, you know? It's a combination of things. The other thing I was thinking of is I remember we went to the old Pete's 2 on Western near Irving Park.
Okay.
And my wife and I called in an order, and we were going to carry it out. And then we're like, you know what, let's just go in. You know, they're open for another hour.
Wow.
You know, like, let's live it up and have a night out at Pete's too.
I love the aggressive go in move.
And you know, so we called them back and just said, hey, you know, we've decided just to eat at the restaurant, if that's okay. And they're like, okay, well, just so you know, we charge you a little bit more when you eat in restaurant because we have to help cover the wait staff. There's a built-in price increase for in-house dining, you know, just to cover the waste stuff. Obviously, they're going to get a tip eventually, but to cover that cost, it's a little bit more. And we're like, that's fine. I mean, it makes sense, but I wonder if that has part of it to do that just they're building in costs for other things in the value meal that, you know, when you order individually that they're like, well, it's easier to say, hey, your pop's $1, you know, as opposed
right.
to like 107 because we also have to pay for Jimmy on the line, you know?
Well, see, right, they're trying to sucker you into the Coke. If you just want a Coke, we'll give it to you for a buck.
Oh, and then if you try to get a coffee?
Oh, they're going to crush you.
On the lunch one? Oh, no thanks.
People are getting fired up here on the text line, 312-981-7200. Carm, you've got me fired up. I'm going to class action sue Mickey D's because the height of the ice cream cone swirl is never the same, but the price is. That's what I've taught. See? There's little mini scams out there.
Have you seen the ones where they don't let you get refills?
What do you mean?
Sodas.
There's what? Certain McDonald's that don't let
Mine
you get...
Mine doesn't. There's like a sign that says like you can't get a refill.
Yeah, but nobody really
pays. It's like this much extra.
It does. No one actually follows that rule, do they? Are you a rule follower?
I'm just saying because they're watching you. And then there's been that rash of people have been getting in trouble because they've been getting water cups and then filling them with soda and then getting in trouble.
Would you just call that a rash of, of people?
Rash. There was like a bunch. Remember the guy, he like, it was a manager. I forget what fast food place it was, but he ran out to like try to get these kids who did that. And then they accidentally ran him over or something. So then the kid got real in trouble.
Ran him over for the guy who was
so.
That's why you don't chase anybody after soda.
Yeah, like he went out there and it was like a whole thing and yeah.
It's like the people who grab too many napkins because they don't want to buy them at home, so they like grab an entire stash from McDonald's.
Larry David.
That's true.
It's a great episode
with
the chicken parm. Arrested for too many napkins. Is it embarrassing when like I won't name names, but there are some people in my family who are older than me, and I see them go into the grocery store or any little area where they're selling like little trinkets, and I can like see them like sneak like the little mini Snickers into their pocket. I'm like, you're 82 years old. Stop stealing the Snickers. I'll pay the 15 cents.
My dad eats food, like the grapes and stuff.
Right. You're eating the grapes.
He's just snacking all day, sampling.
Going through the salad bar line. Like, I'll walk through Whole Foods.
Not the salad bar line. Goodness gracious. You're sticking your hand in there?
No, but, like, I'll walk through Whole Foods, and they've got, like, you know, they got the guacamole out. They've got the bread out. They got the cheese out.
Yeah, but those
out.
Are free. Those are free.
Right. Right.
My dad's just taking grapes off of the
just popping
pile.
Right. Yeah. See, now, what would happen if you, security, my dad is stealing grapes again. Like, can you imagine? I mean, what would that look like on Christmas at the Esmeralda Leon family house?
They probably
also
just wouldn't let them back into the store. Be like, you can't come back here. Get out of here.
His picture's up on the front, like where the community announcements are. Free guitar lessons. Garage sale. Esmeralda's dad with a grape.
Grape stealer.
Yeah. He does the thing, too, where he'll drink a soda and then put the empty can to pay for later. Which I always get a little nervous because I'm like, what if they think you're stealing it? And then in the end, you'll be like, oh, no, I'm paying for it.
Wait, what does he do? Say that again. I'm sorry.
He'll drink a soda.
Yeah.
While he's in the store, and then he'll put the empty
container. That's cool.
I know, but that's so weird because
I do that.
I don't know.
That's why I want to support him. If you're thirsty and you need it right now, you need it right now. 815, it says extra value, so you can trust them it's cheaper, and that's just wrong. They had a $1 menu, but it's gone. Mark from Rockford. Mark, I see you. I feel your pain.
Yeah, but value could mean the food quality.
Yeah, that's not. Well, speaking of food quality, 724 says the double stacks at Wendy's is a better value. I love a good double stack. Although I've been kind of, I've gone down to the single. It's the basic single from Wendy's is a great sandwich.
Well, Wendy's is the king of fast food, I think, quality-wise.
Such a soft bun. It's a nice, soft, fresh bun. It's really an elite product. The fact that I can get a Wendy's cheeseburger for $3 and whatever it is, I feel like that's one of the great steals of all time. I'm also going to the doctor to get 17 medicines so I don't have a heart attack before I'm 50. But that's neither here nor there. All right. Did I tease at 2:30 that I was right and didn't do that? I was right. I'll do it coming back after 3. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dan, I think you got to hit your talkback button. There it is. It's a little bit of a glitch here at the old WGN studios these days. I experience it every Sunday with Hampton, OB, and Cosmo, and I can hear Rick Geezer doing what Rick Geezer does. Love you, Rick Geezer, if you're out there. Hey, before I move on to how I was right, Vic Vaughn, can you tell me some random story of your past where you were in a foreign country and something interesting happened? I'm told you're really good at this. I was talking.
Oh, okay, I'll give you one. I was deploying from an island south of Japan to South Korea.
Okay, island south of Japan to South Korea. Yeah, all right.
This is back.
You're already cooler than me.
Mid-90s, and North Korea was, they had moved about 1 million troops to the DMZ, and they were threatening, you know, like they usually do, attacking the South. So we got deployed. I was on a cadre team. I went ahead to get some things ready.
What's a cadre team, for those who don't know? Not me. I'm an expert on that.
So we were about to deploy several thousand people to South Korea. There was 5 of us on a cadre team that went down to prepare some of the equipment.
I see. Okay.
Well, I fell asleep on the plane. It was a military aircraft. I can't remember what it was. It was an Air Force plane. Jump seats type thing. I fell asleep. I woke up. and they said, "Welcome to Yokota, Japan. We had an engine problem, and now you're in Japan." And we had to figure out how to get to South Korea. So we ended up the next day hopping on a C-130 from Yokota to South Korea.
What's a C-130 for those who don't know?
It's a smaller cargo plane.
Okay.
And still jump seats. And then we made our way from the only place we could get to was up near the DMZ on this flight, and where we needed to go was all the way at the bottom of South Korea, a little compound, it's not even a base, called Gwangju. And so we ended up hitching a ride, me and these five guys hitched a ride with some other Air Force guys that were in a six-pack, which is a pickup truck that seats six people.
Ah.
And then ended up taking a civilian bus the last 30 minutes to get to where we needed to go.
So you're rocking the uniform on the civilian bus after the C-130, the six-pack, and the cadre team was all together still.
We put on some civilian clothes for that last portion of the trip.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This was what year?
I want to say this had to be around 93, somewhere around there, maybe November, the end of 93.
Vic Vaughn, you're a really cool man. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that. I assume they have, but if I don't feel like you maybe hear it enough, so I'm just going to reiterate that.
I've got some good ones, man.
I didn't know this. I was just complimenting you to Dan, telling him how good you sound, because you do sound amazing. I love your news. It turns me on. Is that awkward? Man. I hope not. So, and then he just said, you're just one of the most interesting men that he knows. I hope that I'm not ratting you out there, Dan.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, guys.
So, anyway, thank you very much. We'll do this again at 3:30. Okay. All right. I it's rare that I would ever puff out my chest. Esmeralda, do you think that I'm ever right?
I'm sure you are at some point.
Right. So I did I just asked people a couple overnight show fill-ins ago about, like, why do we live here? Like, right when the polar vortex hit, I'm like, let's all look in the mirror and realize that it gets dark at 4:30. It's going to be like this for the next 3 months. Summer is never long enough. Our taxes are through the roof. And as much as we love Chicago and our families, we all have to look in the mirror and just ask the simple question, why do we live here? Like, what is the point? Because there's a lot of places you can live in life. Esmeralda, why do you live here? And I love my city.
I love it too. Yeah.
But explain to me why. Like,
every time I leave, my heart grows fonder and fonder for Chicago.
Interesting. Have you ever left for a long time?
For a month or so.
That's not a long time.
Went to California.
You tell me you were in California for a month and you were longing to get back to Chicago for real?
Yeah, like when I came back, I was kind of like, "Oh, I miss you."
Uh-huh.
It kind of made the city even better. I went to New York and I was like, "I love you, Chicago." I don't like New York.
Okay, so like you're not into the total hustle bustle of New York.
Yeah, it's too much. It's very claustrophobic feeling.
And what was your problem with California? It's too nice?
No, it's just there's a weird feeling there. I like Chicago because we're hardy people.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we do endure winter is such a thing, and I love that we have summer, and the second it gets to be like 50 degrees, everyone freaks out and is like,
right,
we have to go outside and we have to enjoy every bit of summer we can.
To my point, we freak out when it's 50 degrees.
Yeah, like, but we freak out in a good way.
I know. We get super excited, like 50 degrees is a celebration.
Yeah, everywhere else, you're like, oh, it's too cold, we have to wear a jacket.
Right.
It's like, we're like, yeah, let's go into the beach.
And I saw a dude in shorts today.
Today felt like shorts weather.
Right.
It did.
It caught me, and I'm like, no. And then I'm like, actually, yeah. Like,
it did feel a bit warm.
The first time you walked outside today, it actually felt like you could wear shorts because it's been so brutal. Then it got cold, then when it all settled in. But that first hit, you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. But so to my point here, for the third consecutive year, and I appreciate the toughness of this crew right now, and I'm not going anywhere either, damn it. But for the third consecutive year, because I'm a massive hypocrite, but for the third consecutive year, Illinois has lost more residents than any other state. They're leaving. I knew it.
See, I don't know if that's because of the weather.
Oh, it's partly the weather.
I'm wondering, like, where do they go?
Well, okay, no, I didn't say it was just weather. I threw in taxes and crime and lots of things. 37,508 people left Illinois in 2016. Our population is the lowest it's been in a decade. So why do you think they're leaving, Esmeralda? What's your theory?
I mean, it could be jobs, I guess. Depending on what they want to do. I mean, from what I've seen in my circle of friends, the people that I know a lot of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a mass exodus of comedians, but they go either New York or L.A. And that's because they don't see that Chicago is a viable place to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've exasperated everything they can. Pulled out all the resources of here, and now they're going somewhere else.
And they're getting to that age where they realize that, okay, if I don't go now, I'll never go. That's about
right.
I mean, that's really the age range you're around, and the people you know, I would think, that are doing that. Illinois, we're one of eight states, Illinois is, that is losing people. And Dan, why do you think we're losing people?
I would say it's probably the taxes and the lack of jobs.
Common reasons include high taxes, the state budget stalemate, crime, the unemployment rate, which you just touched on too, and the weather.
Now I'm kind of a dummy. Is the taxes thing not just Cook County?
Taxes in this state, with this whole state, is broke.
Statewide is just ridiculous.
But more people, since you brought up Cook County, very good point, we're losing more people from Chicago than anywhere else. Census data released last year suggested the root of the problem was the Chicago area.
You know what? That's fine. I need to find an apartment in March or in May. So, hey,
so
get out.
When you're walking around and you're on the L or on the bus or whatever you do, walking through Lincoln Square neighborhood, Esmeralda, not saying hi to me, which happened, by the way, for anybody who's...
It's Albany Park.
Albany Park, right. You saw me in Albany Park, didn't say hello.
I think I saw you. I wasn't sure if it was you or not.
Whether it was me or whether it wasn't me.
And either way, I don't say hi to people.
But it doesn't... I would think you would have just said hello. Hey, Carm.
I don't, because what if it wasn't you? That'd be weird.
I did have that moment the other day.
See? It gets awkward.
How about this one? This is so funny. I was doing sports on the Ro Khan show. Okay. I left Ro at 5:30. I sprinted, sped, broke traffic laws to get to Welsh Ryan Arena, Northwestern basketball. When I left GN, Judy Pilek was doing the news. I get to Welsh Ryan Arena. There is a woman in her 50s. With hair like Judy Pilek, she is in line to buy a hot dog, and I walk up to her. I'm like, Judy, are you kidding me? How are you here? And this woman turned to me, and it was most definitely not Judy Pilek. I mean, there was no way it could have been her, but I did exactly what you're talking about. And she just looked at me. I'm like, oh, it's not you. And I just kept going. It was like nothing. It didn't really matter. I just said, you know, these things happen, and then you just keep going. No big deal. Other, you know, you could have, if it was me, we could have had a moment. We could have talked the chicken.
I was going to work.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, back on track here. 312-981-7200. Why are people leaving the state? And are you leaving the state? And why are you leaving if you are leaving? And by the way, also, why are you staying? I'd like to hear the reasons why people are staying. I want to know why you're bunkered in. I am never leaving. I don't care how high the taxes go up here. If I live in downtown Chicago, we're completely broken. Rahm Emanuel makes my taxes 40% more. I am staying. This is my family. This is my home. I will not leave. I want out of here. on some level, I don't want to leave permanently, but I just can't. I want a winter home.
No, well, I would like to leave. I was gonna leave. I was gonna go to California, actually. And then I got a radio gig, so.
Congratulations.
It worked out.
I mean, I love the city. I love the sports teams. I love Wrigley Field. I miss Chicago Stadium. I love my family. But there's these, you know, you got the phone, nowadays, not that any of my family could figure it out, but you could do a Google Hangout and see them.
I think it's good to leave.
Leaving is good.
Because it makes you appreciate where you came from.
Mm-hmm. 312-981-7200. Hey, Patrick, are you staying or are you going?
I'm staying. I got too much family. I'm number seven of eight. and they're all around here. If I could convince them to move to Florida, to anywhere. I hate this state. I mean, I hate it and I love it, just like you. I mean, I love the city. I can't stand the cold. It kills my bones. It kills, literally, and I do HVAC. I was out all last week on rooftops all day, every day.
Oh.
I could not feel the fingertips or my feet at all. It's, you know, I get it. You know, like I said, I mean, like you said, it's a beautiful city. I love the city. But if you're anywhere like I am, I'm right on the border. Crook County can go take themselves to the bathhouse because I'm going to Lake County. I'm going to Will County. I'm going to DuPage County for anything I need that's goofy taxes. Cigarettes, I pay $100 in Crook County for a carton, 110 actually. I think 110, 120. I can go to any county around us, $70, $67 for a carton.
That's crazy.
And that's everybody that's a smoker or a pop person from now on because of the 1 cent per ounce of pop. You know, I mean, all the counties around Cook County love Cook County because they're a bunch of jamokes that are raising the taxes and everybody else is going to every county around us and getting their stuff from them.
Patrick,
Patrick,
were you at my house this week fixing my heat, which wasn't working and I had to stay?
Probably half the price you paid those jamokes that did it for you, but...
$109 bucks for an hour of work there, Patrick. Is that a good deal or a bad deal?
I'm $90 an hour.
See, okay, so I didn't mind. I thought
all right.
So I don't.
What was your total?
That was it. 109 check done. And I don't want to make this about me, but hey, let's make it about me for 1 minute.
It was
the heat sensor. Apparently, like my
And they charge you $109. That's all right. You know, that ain't bad.
Well, is
but
it good? But
last time you had your burn screen.
Say that again.
Exactly. Thank you, sir.
Right, a long time. I don't do anything right, and now I have no filter in my heater because I didn't have any filters, and that's been. I said I would go right out and get it, so now I'm 3 days on that.
Dude. Oh my god, dude! Your air conditioning has just got a blow. It's got. If you haven't, when was the last time you had a filter in that thing?
I had it in there, but then like when he came to fix it, we pulled it out, and of course it looked like charcoal, and
like somebody. Hey, what is this thing? It looks like hair.
Right. But
that's all your gross, Mark Carmen.
Easy.
No, listen. I do HVAC for a living. Almost 90% of my calls for heating and air conditioning or for heating in the winter are because people have dirty filters. If you don't change your filter, your furnace will overheat. It can only stand, like any engine. It has to breathe, but people, their filters are out of sight. Filters are out of sight. And what do we say? Out of sight, out of mind, out of mind. You're not changing it. I'm going to tell everybody right now, keep your fan where your fan says on and auto on your thermostat. If you have a more than 900 square foot house, keep that on and change your filter every 2 months. It's going to filter your air constantly, and B, it's going to make your whole house a constant temperature. Your thermostat only reads 3 feet from where it's at. If you keep it on auto, it's going to read 3 feet from where it's at, and that's what it is. You set it at 72, it only cares about the 3 feet from where it's at. It does not care about the house, or I'm not sorry, the room at the end of the house that's,
Patrick.
Not harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's 700 square feet away. It doesn't care about their room. If you keep the fan on, it circulates the whole house air and makes your thermostat read the whole house temperature and constantly works the heat or air conditioning. It does not control the heat or air conditioning. It controls the fan. And thermostats are mislabeled. Everybody reads them wrong. Because if you look at it and you don't know like I do, that fan on means the fan is on or fan auto. Everybody looks at it and they're like, I have no clue what that means. I'm going to go with auto and flips it to auto. So the fan on the furnace only comes on when the heat or air conditioning costs for it.
So we,
that does. Go ahead.
To recap, as we're getting like we and, just went, we just went into Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix It out of nowhere Saturday morning. Fan on all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And Tom Ed actually recommends it for the summer because they can't meet the demand that your outside unit calls for. If your fan on inside, okay, so your fan inside draws 115 volts, maybe 3 amps. Your outside unit draws 220 volts at probably 20 to 30 amps, depending on the size of your house. The bigger the unit, the bigger the amps. So you're paying by the amperage. Basically, you're paying kilowatts, but the amperage is slash kilowatts. So if you keep the fan on, I'm in this house, which is drawing 3 to 4, maybe 5 amps. If you've got a huge house, you're about a third of what that outside unit's drawing. And if you've got a basement, everybody in the house, everybody that has a bigger house has a basement, first floor, second floor, knows the second floor is always smoking hot in the basement. It's always smoking cold in the summer and even in the winter. And for whatever reason, they always shut the vents in the basement. Because they don't want, you know, it's all so cold in the basement, especially in the summer, they do that. And they think that's going to push the air upstairs. It doesn't, because they're keeping the fan on auto. If they keep the fan on and open those vents in the basement, that cold air in the basement, again, anybody that has a basement knows how cold a basement gets in the summer, and the upstairs is always smoking hot.
Patrick, do you have a website where we can learn everything that you just spewed out? Because I'm thinking that some people who are just waking up and turning over or maybe can't sleep, they need Patrick, PatrickSomethingSomething.com. Excuse me?
My email is FullerPatricksHVAC@gmail.com.
My man.
Wait, but if I leave the fan on, won't it just be cold in my house?
Patrick, wait. Okay, Hugh, I love you. Because every customer always asks me, well, if I leave the fan on, aren't I just totally blowing my electric bill up?
And that noise is going to be on all day?
You know what that noise is? You know what that noise is? It's the noise of cleaning your air.
Oh, but it's so annoying.
You know, it is. Because your probably house has too small of ductwork. Oh, my God. Most houses have, like, one main return. Right? You have one big grill in your living room when the air goes back to the furnace? Yes? No? Maybe so.
Oh, what? But I have no idea.
If you're
I live in an apartment.
Stay with Patrick, Esmeralda.
I don't know what that means. I don't know. There's a big tube running.
Exactly. Okay, so the air comes out certain spots in your house, usually around the windows or on the outside walls. If your house is built from 1950 to 55, everything's reversed. But after 55, they figure out, hey, the outside wall is where the heat or cold load is, so let's put the supplies on that wall. So on the inside of your house, I'm guessing, do you live in your normal three flat or do you live in Chicago? Where are you in the best relevant?
Oh, I'm in Chicago.
I know, but what kind of house?
Patrick.
What?
Patrick Esmeralda, I'm going to connect you guys offline. You guys can have a deep combo.
Yeah, okay,
Patrick,
it doesn't matter. My house is drafty as all get out.
Patrick, congratulations. You're the longest call in the history of WGN Radio.
First off,
yes?
Hey, I love your show, man.
Thank you,
you're
Patrick.
Awesome.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you.
Esmeralda is awesome.
She
I
is.
Love her. You guys keep me up all night. I should be asleep at 10 o'clock at night. And here I am. What time?
It's 3:28.
Is that awesome? Thank you, sir.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, Patrick.
I love you guys.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. That was this conversation, just for the record. That was about why he was staying in Illinois. And we just learned
more. I'm going to turn the fan on and blame Patrick if I'm freezing.
See, but if you turn the fan on, doesn't it just run nonstop?
Right? How annoying would that be?
I feel like that, but I want to live my life like Patrick. That man's got it going on.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn it on when I get home.
There's two men that I want to follow right now. Patrick and my guy, what's his name?
Gentry.
Yeah. Oh. Hold on a second here. I got to pull it up. Man, Sue's McDonald's. Love him. Gertie? What was his name? Larry Gertie? That's not his name. Whoever sued McDonald's on the I Love You. 312-981.
James Gertie.
The man who figured out that the value meal was overpriced. On the line for you, Gertie. 312-981-7200. Are you staying? Are you leaving? Why do we live here? I do have to do the news in 1 minute. We'll continue the conversation. 720 WGN. 37,508 people are saying, I'm gone. See you, Illinois. It's the biggest exodus we've ever had in the state. That's what happened in 2016. Along with losing Alan Thicke and Prince, so many people died in 2016. I can't remember any of them other than Alan Thicke and Prince. I don't know what that says about me, but those...
David Bowie
died. Who else died? I don't want to...
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa Gabor was a big one. Okay, let's not go full death talk.
A lot of people.
A lot. And 37,000 people are leaving Illinois. Are you staying? Are you going? Did I read the common reasons? I did, but let's read them again. Common reasons why people are leaving. All I need is the weather. Forget about the taxes and everything else, but common reasons why people are leaving the state. I think you can always come back and visit, and I love Chicago. I really do. And so grateful to be here on WGN Radio. And I'll never leave. I won't. Unless somebody gives me a great job somewhere else and pays me double. Then I would consider leaving. Did I say that on the air? Is that wrong? I don't think that's wrong. Common reasons: high taxes, the state budget stalemate, crime, the unemployment rate, and the weather. 312-981-7200. I don't know whether to try to bring you back or tell you to go. I have your best interests at heart. Know that. Where are people going? You want to know that answer? You want to know that? I thought that was interesting. People are leaving Illinois for Texas. Followed, that's number one. I used to think I would hate Texas just because it's Texas. But then I lived in Austin. Loved Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that's different.
I know it's different, but then I lived in Houston. I liked Houston. A little spread out, a little ugly. But it was the middle of January. Monday night, singles league. Tuesday night, practice. Wednesday night, doubles. Thursday, 40 and over. Saturday, something else. I mean, I played tennis 5 days a week outdoors for like no money. Can't do that in Illinois. If you're not going to Texas, though, they're going to Florida, Indiana right next door. That kind of hurts. California and Arizona.
I'm sorry, but...
Yeah?
Florida and Indiana, really?
Florida you don't like?
Ugh.
Really?
Have you heard all the stories that come out of Florida? It's ridiculous.
I don't know. You go down to Florida, it's Florida.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah, okay. To each her own. Hey, Paul, you left? You left Illinois, Paul? 312-981-7200? Oh, I got to punch him up. What did I do? What did I do?
Tennis in Texas.
Hey, wait, hang on, Paul. Start again. I did something wrong. It's a very tough, difficult concept to push the button. Apparently, I did that wrong. Paul, you left the state?
Yeah.
Where'd you go, yeah, Paul?
I'm in Carson City, Nevada. But I'm back here to visit relatives right now. But you mentioned it right away, the recreation. Most of my friends, they just watch sports. They go to bars, and it's a kind of a polluted lifestyle with hardly any outdoors involved in it. And I grant you, I love rollerblading along the lake. Mm-hmm. I love the trails out in the suburbs and some of the recreation areas, you know. But there's better rollerblading places out west. But I get to ski and hike, and I love it. And I'm in clubs that hike and ski.
So let me break this down just so we're hearing each other correctly here. Basically, you left this state not because of money or jobs or anything, but you have better rollerblading in Nevada.
Yeah, rollerblading. All right. Yeah, it's all around. From Carson City, I'm on the poor side of Lake Tahoe, and I'm within a couple hours of Sacramento, and I dance there. There's a lot of swing clubs there. And if I'm in the mood for the ocean a couple of more hours, I'm in San Francisco area, down the coast, Santa Cruz, and I love it. It's there's so many things to do. And when you're active like me, I always call myself a leg man. You know, I love to dance, ski, skate, things like that. And
that may be the greatest thing that's ever been said on this station, as I'm being hyperbolic a lot tonight. But people call you a leg man, or you call yourself a leg man? That's fantastic,
I call
Paul.
Myself leg man. Yeah. And that's what what entices other people that come out by me and stay, and they, oh man, they don't want to get on the plane. They can't believe they've done so much. And I got one friend, she's got dogs, and she wondered, well, how am I going to, you know, what about my dogs? Well, she found out after she moved out over there by me that there's so many places to go with her dogs. And it's not like here where you take them to a little postage stamp dog park or mm-hmm. something.
Right.
No, we've got fantastic places to go to recreate, you know, recreate the soul, you know.
Pauly Legs joining us right now on 720 WGN. Pauly, if I can may call you that. Paul, how long did you debate leaving, and then when did you finally leave?
Well, to tell you the truth, for the last mm-hmm. 15 years, I've been out in Carson City, but my business and my properties were here in Illinois, and it was hard to make the final cut the tape,
cut the cord.
You know. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so finally I did it, and... hey, it's just what I wanted, just what I needed all my life, you know.
What do you do, Paul? You're a real estate guy?
No, I was a plumbing contractor.
Okay. Okay. Well, you can do that anywhere, right? Have you developed new contracts, new clients in your, or are you just retired?
Retired early, and said sayonara to the business.
What is going on here? With all due respect, The heating and air conditioning guy that came over the other day because I don't know what I'm doing in my house, he's retiring. You retired at how old, Paul?
54
years old, you retired.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're slaving over here in radio. None of us are ever going to retire, Paul. You.
Well, hey, the kids grew up and they left and they're doing fine and... Me, all I did was travel around in the wintertime mostly, and then I decided, hey, I've had it. I've had it beating myself up physically and mentally with the customers, and that's it. And yeah. I just love to use that word, I recreate. I recreate my soul every day with outdoor recreation, and there, you just can't do it here in Illinois.
Right. What time's the alarm go off there, Paul?
The alarm?
Yeah, right. You're retired. You don't even have an alarm. You just wake up with, you just leap out of bed, feet hit the floor, and you're like, yes, I am retired. I'm not in Illinois. I'm living the life. I'm going rollerblading.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah. When I lived here, during the summer months or spring and fall, I couldn't wait to get outside, bike, blade, whatever I was doing. And I loved. I grew up on roller skates around Chicago area,
mm-hmm.
and I was at the indoor rinks, and you know they called people like me rink rats, you know. And
any YouTube videos available of your youth, perhaps?
Pardon?
Any YouTube videos available? Did mom and dad perhaps capture some of those moments?
You know, no, I'm not on I'm not on the internet or Facebook or anything like that. It's kind of hands on. I don't need all that computer stuff.
Right.
And so
salt of the earth, baby.
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Congratulations, all right. Paul. Enjoy talking
you.
To you. Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Absolutely. Paul, he left 15 years ago. Pauly Legs, 312-981-7200. Top that. That was fantastic. I don't know if anybody enjoyed that as much as I did, but I really enjoyed that. I am going out at 5 a.m. when I get off this shift, and I'm buying some rollerblades, and I'm changing my life. He just painted the most amazing picture ever. He just gets up. There's no alarm. He's just rollerblading down the road. Retired at 54. Done. We're sitting here. It's going to be freezing. I'm going to be 54. It's going to be cold. My bones are going to hurt. If I'm lucky enough to make it that far. All right. Let's get back on the positive flow here.
Hold me like you never let me go.
Getting emotional on 720 WGN. Leading the exodus to warmer states out of Illinois is the African-American population, looking for more stable income, safe neighborhoods, and prosperity. Between 2014 and 2015, more than 9,000 black residents left Cook County, which should be a surprise to absolutely no one. All right, we're talking about leaving Illinois. People are just flocking out of the state. 37,508 people left Illinois last year. By comparison, think about this. Michigan, which has Detroit, lost 27,839 people. I'm not a math major, but that's about 10,000 less. All right? 12,000 people left Wisconsin. And I love Wisconsin, but let's be real. We are better than Wisconsin on a lot of levels, you would think. 12,000 people left Indiana, 12,135. Indiana, and I love Indiana, but that's almost like, that's more than three times less are leaving Indiana. That's kind of rough, right? 6,250 people left Missouri, and I can say this after living in Missouri, you want to leave Missouri. I mean, people in Missouri, I mean, I love Missouri on some level, but come on. And Iowa, where I graduated college from, the University of Iowa, they only lost 3,392 people. If you live in Iowa and you're doing Iowa, you ain't going anywhere else. You just love yourself in Iowa. Some people say idiots out wandering around. Not me. Iowa City is a great, great, great place. Why are you leaving? Why are you staying? Illinois, we're having a deep discussion right now on 720 WGN. Dominic? It says here that you're staying in California after college. We're going to lose you, Dominic?
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, no, not on the phone line, but I know you're on the phone, Dominic. But are you leaving the state?
Oh, yeah. I'm in my senior year, and I play baseball for San Diego State.
Wow.
And I've been in California for my whole college time. I started at a junior college there playing baseball. I went to Nazareth Academy right in LaGrange Park. And by my senior year, I really decided that I was going to stay out in California after college, to the point where my parents actually sold their house in the suburbs, and I got them to kind of move out there with me.
Dominic, stop me if I'm prying here. Number one, I want to know, are you a regular overnight WGN listener?
I actually am. I love Chicago so much, and at least my heart and soul. I listen to you guys on an app on my while I fall asleep every night out in California, San Diego.
So you're laying in the Dominic bed in San Diego right now listening to the show?
No, I'm actually in Chicago right now for the holidays.
Okay.
Getting my snow fixed for the couple weeks I'm here.
Well, welcome home. And now I want to know about your baseball career. What position do you play?
I'm a pitcher.
Righty or lefty?
Lefty.
Fastball, slider, curveball?
And a splitter, yep.
All four, huh? So you're a starter?
All four, yep. I'm a starter.
Do you have aspirations of playing in the minor leagues?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm talking to a few teams. It'd be nice to get. I mean, I grew up a White Sox fan, but honestly, I couldn't complain getting drafted by either Chicago team right now.
Are you expected to get drafted?
I might. There's a good chance if I have a good season this year. I've been draft eligible the past 2 years, but, ups and downs with the draft is always, there's always issues with that.
Right. Do you want me to call Rick Hahn over there? He's making a lot of moves. I mean,
Definitely. There's some Cub scouts that are always at our practices in our fall ball.
Really?
I think I might just walk up to him next time and be like, hey, you know I'm from Chicago. Let's make the right move here.
Have you seen Theo at all, Theo or Jed?
No, I have not. But, I mean, Chris Bryant went to our rival school, so I'm sure they're around the neck of the woods sometimes. And I'm pretty sure Theo went to University of San Diego as well.
Yeah. Well, you never know how it happens right now, Dominic. You called in talking about how you're leaving. But if I was a smart baseball guy like Theo and Jed and Rick Hahn are, I'd be looking your numbers up. What's your last name?
Papura, P-U-R-P-U-R-A.
I had a huge crush on a Papura in college. I loved me and Amy Papura back in the day. She's out on the West Coast too. Evanston born. Yes. What's that?
The Italians.
Sure. Absolutely. Why not? Never limit yourself, yeah. Dominic. That's my advice in life.
I mean, I love Chicago so much, and it's tough being out in San Diego, but you'd be surprised. What I wanted to call in and tell you is how many Chicagoans are actually out there. You know, there's bars that are just dedicated to just Chicago sports. Like when the Cubs were in the World Series, there was multiple bars that you would walk into and just known for Chicago. And I mean, the whole place from head to toe is loaded.
Right.
I'm sure it's like that in Florida too, at some, you know, with retirement areas, I guess, but in San Diego, at least it's a young crowd. There's a lot of college age students and a lot of, like, I would say young 30s that are from Chicago, like starting careers out there.
Right. You know, you're ahead of the curve here, Dominic, right? Most people, they live their whole life in Chicago, and then at 65, they figure out,
right,
maybe I
yeah.
should go to Cali. You at 20, you've
yeah.
already locked it in.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I grew up, like I said, I played baseball at Nazareth, and my life dream was just to play Big Ten college baseball. Like, I would have killed to play baseball at any Big Ten school. And while I was at my junior college, I actually got a couple offers to play at some Big Ten schools. And even a school, I had an offer from Oregon. And the weather, when I visited these schools and just went back after living in San Diego or Orange County, I was at for a couple years, I was just like, just because of my sport, I was like, and being a pitcher, I'm like, I got to stay out here. You know, I couldn't come back home.
Yeah, I know. I can relate, Dominic. I'm trying to make my way into the senior men's tennis tour, and you can't do it in Illinois.
Yeah.
I got to be in Florida. I got to be where the action is.
It's funny. I'm actually at my I'm staying with my grandparents right now in Lockport, and they have the Bo Jackson Dome right here. And that's the only place I can go every day. Is I just go to the Bo Jackson Dome and work out.
Can I meet you there tomorrow?
Yeah, come on by.
All right. What time?
Probably 1 o'clock.
All right, 1 p.m. Bo Jackson, Lockport.
I'm
there.
Come on by. All of our teammates are there.
Sweet. Let's get a workout in. I'm ready to make a move.
I'll hit you some ground balls.
Hey,
pitcher, I could really hit some of my infielders some ground balls. So.
I could use that work. I know you followed my softball career. We won titles back in the day. It hasn't happened in a
All
while.
All right, I know. I think I looked you up on I think it was MLB.com.
Yep, that's where it was.
The history section.
Yep, exactly there. And I was the headliner. History MLB. Dominic.
I thought I saw that.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you, my brother. Merry. Good talking to you.
Thank you very much. You too. Have a good one.
I officially love the overnight more than anything else in life. You could go 15 minutes with Dominic on the overnight.
Right? That's the beauty of the shift.
I just went 15 with Dominic. It wasn't quite 15, but it was a long time. And then before that was, I don't know.
Patrick, the HVAC guy.
Patrick, the HVAC guy. And who was before that? I love everybody. Love you all. You're beautiful people with great stories. And I really just want to... I want to connect with you. That's the truth. 312-981-7200. 1 hour to go here. Let's see here. Ton of you reacting on the text line to the beauty that is this city. All right, well, we'll figure out what we're doing after the 4 o'clock news in a moment. 720 WGN. All right, we got to spring up the big issue that I've been laying in the weeds on. The Chicago Cubs are attacking you. You would be the Chicago Cubs season ticket holder. You would be even the person that goes to a handful of Cub games. You would be the person that goes to any Cub games. By the way, I'm really, 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 really happy the Cubs won the World Series. Thank you. But, story in your Chicago Tribune. Patrick M. O'Connell, the writer. Michael Wester, a now former Cubs season ticket holder. Seat privileges revoked. Wester had terrible seats, generally. I mean, any seat in Wrigley Field is a good seat. But he was in the upper deck, section 506. That is, I'll look up exactly where it's at, but it's either two sections from the corner or three sections from the corner, about the worst seat you can have. I actually prefer being up than underneath the overhang, but by sheer price, it's the cheapest seat in the park. Let me see here, Wrigley Field seating chart. Should have looked this up before. I apologize. I know that people have places to go and things to do. 506, okay, it's four sections from the corner in the left field corner. 503 is the far corner looking out on a Waveland. 504, 505, 506. He's basically above the bullpen. All right? The Chicago Cubs are not allowing Michael Wester to buy his tickets anymore in 506 and in 514 because he sold more than 85% of them on StubHub or any other secondary market, Vivid Seats or whatever Michael Wester, that crook, did. Cracking down on fans like Wester, the Cubs say, is a way to keep tickets in the hands of the people who actually plan on attending the games. Didn't the Cubs start their own ticket agency a couple years back? Isn't StubHub in bed with MLB, and they have policies? Cubs are actually, and every other team in Major League Baseball has a deal with StubHub. Just for the point of fact. So Wester's gotten his tickets taken away because the Cubs figured out he was selling too many of his seats. So the Cubs want all the money. Every last cent should go to the Cubs because Lord knows they're struggling financially over there. The club was purchased for $850 million. It's now worth over $2 billion. And so we can't have fans like Michael Wester making a couple bucks on his tickets. Meanwhile, let me just give a little bit of an oral history on what happened with the Chicago Cubs, if I may. Because I'm also a partial Cubs season ticket holder. The Chicago Cubs, if you go back in time when the Tribune sold the team and Sam Zell was taking over and they were getting ready to sell the team and they bought Alfonso Soriano and Ted Lilly. I don't need to go through all the names, but they paid a ton of money for a ton of players. And they raised their ticket prices. And the team went to the playoffs in 07, and they went to the playoffs in 08, and they were moderately, and they didn't win one game, but they went, and then they were moderately competitive in 09, and then they fell off the cliff. And then Tom Ricketts figured out that, you know what, let me bring in this really smart guy, Theo Epstein, and we're going to try to lose on purpose. The Cubs never lowered their ticket prices. They had very, very, very modest increases, and then they held flat for 1 year. But basically, when Zell brought in Soriano, they had a big bump in the price. Kind of like, for the tennis fans out there, I like to bring that in. Like, tennis balls have always been $3. $3, $3, $3. Cub ticket prices have always gone up, and so basically it's always been like $3. It's like cost the same. It's like right there with inflation. They were a good value. And then, bam, they just went to $6. And they were maybe worth it for those 2 years when they were good, but then they were not worth it. And they weren't even worth $3. They were worth $1.50 at best. But the prices were still at $6, and they left them there, and they left them there, and they left them there. And a lot of people left. A lot of people could not stomach the price because they couldn't get the money back on the secondary market. You put your Cubs tickets on StubHub in 2012, 2013, 2014, even 2015, you were getting 25% on the value. People couldn't give them away. And I don't, by the way, what they were doing off the field as far as building the team was exactly the right thing to do. But the business side didn't give any of their longtime season ticket holders a drop of a break. Most franchises, if you have season tickets, you don't pay the face value for the seat. You get some level of discount. Cubs don't do that. Cubs don't have to do that. I get it, but they don't do it. Another thing, like I thought they could do at the time, hey, we really appreciate your loyalty. We know that you've been a season ticket holder for 30 plus years. If you're, you know, some letter written out by Tom Ricketts, we've developed a loyalty that you're going to grandfather people. And if you've been here for 30 plus years, we're going to give you a 15% discount off your seats. If you've been here for 20 years, we'll give you 10. At five, we'll give you 5%. And then, you know, it incentivizes you. Well, okay, if I keep them to here, then I'm going to get this discount, the whole thing. None of that ever happened. Now the Cubs win the World Series. And they raise their ticket prices 20%. 20! And they're booting out people like Michael Wester, who finally got to cash in and make a couple dollars on him. And I love the Cubs, and I hope they win it again, and I think they will. But this is just wrong. It is flat out wrong. It's gross. It's greedy. And I don't know if there's any recourse here. What am I going to tell you? Don't go to Cub games? I know you're not going to do that. But I think they should be at bare minimum called out for it. Now. 312-981-7200 if you want to share your Cub pain. Because it's great that they're winning. But, I just hate to see fans really get the short end of the stick as far as who's going to the park. And baseball right now, they make so much money with TV. They make so much money online. They really don't need to be doing this. At least the Cubs don't. Here's one letter that was sent by a gentleman I know. He's had Cubs season tickets since 1983. In recent years, he's had numerous conversations with his season ticket rep regarding overpriced tickets. And in some cases, he's had a reasonable two-way dialogue. But in many cases, when he would call up the Cubs, he would get the company line that we haven't raised ticket prices in years. And then he writes, of course, the Cubs probably doubled their prices during the short Sam Zell era. The length of those deals then led to the 2010, as the length of the Soriano deals, I'm fast-forwarding here, led to the 2010 through 2014 decline and intentional back-of-the-truck era. From a baseball perspective, the rebuild made all the sense in the world and was executed to perfection by Theo and Hoyer. I do think that the Cubs are even shocked it paid off so soon. However, season ticket holders, in effect, were left holding the bag for five consecutive years when the team intentionally fielded a triple-A, 4-A product. And they were major financial, and season ticket holders were major financial contributors in facilitating the rebuild. He's right. I was told by the Cubs that if and when prices were raised again, it would be a slow and gradual process. This is a season ticket holder calling up the Cubs as he's overpaying, and he was told it'd be slow and gradual. Then he adds on, I also happen to have White Sox season tickets and have found the Sox to be far more season ticket holder friendly. Why? Because they have to. But, then you also have, the Cubs side of it. The Cubs are going to do it. And so the Cubs should have let their season ticket holders, quote unquote, as he writes, breathe a bit before rushing out to gouge their most loyal customers. And if you have seats in section, if you have seats behind home plate, if you're the really, 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 really lucky long-term, probably most likely fairly wealthy, although I know people in those sections that have had seats behind home plate for a long time. They've been in their family and their teachers, and they're not, seven-figure people. In some cases, they're barely even six-figure people, and they're sitting behind home plate. Well, if you sit behind home plate, they're putting in their new 2000 or 1914 American Airlines Club. And this is what this is the letter that the Cubs are sending out. I mean, if you sit behind home plate, your first year, your tickets are going from what was last year about $40,000, which is a ton of money for four seats, to $130,000, $400 a seat. And they want a commitment for multiple years. It's truly incredible. Year one, $400 a seat. Year three, a 7% increase from there, $400, $428, $458. So all these people who are sitting right behind home plate and have had the tickets forever, they're saying, A, corporations want these seats, and they're going to pay this, and they're going to be able to go underneath Wrigley Field where we're building the new club. They're going to be able to have shrimp and a vodka soda and prime rib, and they're going to entertain clients. And if you want the seats, great, but if you don't, see you later. And some of these people have had tickets since the 60s. By the way, we'll find somewhere else in the park for you. Now, I don't know if they're actually going to take care of these people and put them. Where are you going to put them? Are you going to put them in the first 10 rows somewhere between first and third base? Or are you going to boot them back 10 rows? That's just not, that's wrong. These people have been there forever. They've earned the right. Cubs won the World Series, and they're taking it out on their fans. Michael Wester, season ticket holder, sold 85% of his tickets supposedly on StubHub or Vivid Seats or Craigslist or I'll Sell My Tickets.com. He had seats in some of the worst sections in the ballpark, 506, four sections from the corner, and section 514, which is actually, I like 514. Nice little third baseline right around the mound looking out to right field. I think I was sitting in 514 when Miggy Montero hit a grand slam into the night in game one of the NLCS. Oh, it was a moment. But by the way, if I had owned 514 seats, and a friend of mine sold me his tickets, they were $100. If I had owned them and I could have sold them on StubHub for $3,000, done. Sold, I'll figure something else out. I could not sell those seats because I bought them from a friend and I had to go, and I loved being there. But this dude selling his tickets and they're going to take his tickets away from him, and they're going to gouge you 20%? 20% on average, the Rays. And if you have great seats, it was more than 20%. And they're taking tickets away. This is gross. This is gross. This is gross. Tom Ricketts, I like you a lot. I think you're great. I love how you walk around the park. I love everything you're doing. I love that you hired Theo. This is wrong. I'm feeling Crane Kenny. 312-981-7200. Ed, you think that Michael Wester deserved to have his tickets taken away?
Yeah. Well, hi, this is Ed, by the way.
Hello, Ed.
Hi. The main fact, and you're totally passing over, he didn't even go to the game.
Uh-huh.
And so he has the right to sell them, but I think the team has the right to take it away because he's not even going. I mean, if he could have given them to friends or something, and he wasn't doing. So basically, this guy's a scalper.
Yeah.
So you're supporting a scalper.
Basically. Absolutely.
That's what you're saying. But he's not a fan.
Who cares?
He's not really a fan. And I understand that. What do you mean, who cares?
What are you
supposed to be backing a fan, not a scalper?
Well, hold on. Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, Ed.
Ed, that's okay.
Ed. Michael Wester's the guy.
Yeah.
What happens if, when he was buying the seats in 13 and 12 and 14 and they were brutal?
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
You buyer beware. You can't just guarantee that the team is going to be great. I mean, they still spent money. I mean, they weren't very good players that they spent money on.
No, they
like
didn't.
Like Soriano. But you can't guarantee. That's, you know, there's no such thing as a guarantee. I mean, just look at the whole stuff with the NBA. There's no guarantee LeBron James is going to be playing the night that he's going to be playing.
Right.
The Cubs can't say, oh, we're going to win a championship every year. And then, oh, we didn't, so you get paid your money back. Just because they're brutal those years. And some of those people did that because they wanted to keep those seats. So in case, like this season, they still had the right to buy those seats and do that.
Ed, let me ask you a question. Do you go to Wrigley Field?
No, I live in New Jersey, by the way.
Okay, do you go to...
My brother has season tickets. He buys the package, which... I don't know how many tickets this guy had. I'm assuming it was a full season.
Okay, and he sells none of them?
No, I am not against selling tickets. I'm against the fact that he was selling almost all of them, and he wasn't even giving them away. I mean, I don't even know. He probably was giving them away for the other date that really, I mean, or probably in April, there were, you know, it was easier to sell tickets or give them away in April than there was later in the season.
I am not
against scalping at all, but this guy was obviously not even a fan. He didn't even go to
most of the games
or even give them away.
Okay, how many games are you allowed to sell and it's okay with you then, Ed?
I mean, if it was like 50%, they would be fine. But
okay.
85%, that's almost the entire, you know, his own entire package.
Well, but he lives in San Diego, right? I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if he'd do the same thing if he lived here, but he lives in San Diego. So you're saying you're saying that he should have given 50% of his games to people that are, and he could sell the rest?
So did he just move to San Diego? See, I don't know what the circumstances are behind it, but if you're living in San Diego or for whatever, I mean, then, you know, that's what you take a chance of doing, buying tickets. And I don't know why he's buying the season tickets if he's living in San Diego.
Let me, Ed, does it change your opinion at all that they raise tickets 20%?
No, because,
again,
I mean, 20% for next year. I know they raised them pretty high. But you got to remember, they're redoing all the renovations at the field.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is putting a gun to anybody's head. I mean, obviously, they're not, you know.
No, but they are threatening you. Hey, we're going to charge you a ton, and don't you sell those tickets a lot, because we're going to take them from you.
The Cubs would be stupid not to raise ticket prices considering how the team is going, because, you know, somewhere down the line, obviously, these players are going to be gone, and we're going to be back to what we were, you know, for those few years.
You think they're going to drop the prices then?
No. Well, yeah, they have to, because
they will not.
Well, you know what? First of all, baseball is not as popular as it once is. So sooner or later, you know, first of all, the guaranteed contracts are going to be gone. And you don't, I mean, kids are not playing baseball anymore.
Okay.
So in the next 10 or 20 years, and this is a whole another story, but sooner or later, baseball is going to have to be fighting for the ticket dollar. And all you have to do is go to other cities, the smaller cities, where they have to either come up with a deal where you buy a package and you get a discount.
Right.
I mean, Chicago's a total different animal than some of the other cities when you go to, you know, like Pittsburgh or maybe Cincinnati, I guess, to some extent. But it's a whole different ballgame. But I just don't think, I mean, this guy, unless he, you know, there was circumstances where he just moved mid-season. But it doesn't sound like it, because he sold most of his tickets.
Right. I got you. I appreciate you. Okay.
And no problem.
I got to hit this.
I'll talk to you later.
I'm a disciplined broadcaster, Ed. I got to hit the news on time.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too, Ed. Thank you.
Bye.
I don't know why I can't put this guy on hold. Phone line's not working. There we go. Thank you. Mike, hang on. I want to talk to you after the news, if you can. 312-981-7200. There's certain things in life that I care about, and there's certain things in life I don't care about. I don't care what you do with your tickets. Go, don't go, sell them, don't sell them. Cubs shouldn't care either. They have their money. You're not going to be able to eliminate people selling their seats. You can't monopolize the whole world. Not every burger that's going to be bought is going to be bought in your facility. Not everyone's going to stay in your hotel. What are you going to do? Hey, no more parking on the street around here. We want all the dough. Hey, get those street peddlers away. Enough of those $10 t-shirts. We want them to buy our licensed apparel. We want every cent. And I get Gordon Gekko, greed is good and all that, but come on, man. Taking tickets away from Michael Wester in Section 506. Leave Michael Wester alone. Do I have a timeout here? I do. Quick timeout right to you, Vic. 720 WGN. Good morning. 434. Don't sell your Cubs tickets. Cubs will find you. They will take them away. You will receive a non-renewal notice, and you will be shamed publicly. The issue is getting tickets in the hands of the fans who are primarily interested in enjoying Cubs baseball and experiencing Wrigley Field. That's from Cubs spokesman Julian Green. Michael Wester was not interested in that enough to the Cubs level of Cubness. Westers admits that he sold 85% of his tickets. Cubs did not like that. Cubs told Michael Wester to take a hike. Wester is 29 years old. He was born in Mount Prospect. He grew up a Cub fan. He now lives in San Diego. He attended about a half dozen games in person. Cubs won the World Series. Now they want every single, they do not want people selling their seats. Certainly not in massive amounts like Michael Wester did. They want all the money. They want loyal fans. There was an interesting one in this piece about former baseball player Eric Soderholm. He had 18 Cubs season tickets. Used to play, you know, in the majors. Had 18 Cubs tickets. Took the team to court after he yanked his privileges because he was hawking the seats through his ticket broker business. Court said, Soderholm, you lose. So the Cubs know they can do this. They've been to court before. You sell our seats. Even though things have changed, by the way, with all these teams, Major League Baseball, the NFL, they have licensing agreements with StubHub. MLB, the cheapest seat you can buy on StubHub is $6. That's because that was negotiated. You can't sell a ticket for $4. Hey, man, you want to give me $4 for this? I'll sell it to you. It's 118. The game's at 120. Give me $4 for my sad-ass seat in 506. I'll take that $6 and go to McDonald's, and I'll buy the burger, fry, and Coke individually. Like, what was his name? I love that guy.
James Gurdy.
James Gurdy, who's suing Mickey D's because his two cheeseburger value meal is 41 cents more put all together. Love that guy. If you haven't read about James Gurdy, you're not doing your life right. Search James Gurdy. G-E-R-T-I-E. 312-981-7200. Jordan, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, man. Hit the button. There's something wrong with the button in here. There's officially something wrong with the button. I definitely hit the button, Dan.
It happens.
Hello, Jordan. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Hey, I have a very good friend of mine that has had season tickets with the Cubs since the 1930s.
Okay.
Now, he was in the original row one, right by the Cubs on deck circle. I've sat in those seats before. Phenomenal.
Section 17?
Well, yeah, whatever that row is, it was the original first row,
okay.
Right by, it was by the edge of the screen.
Yep.
If you know kind of where that is.
Of course.
So what really kicked him off was when they added the rows a few years ago. Remember that?
Yep.
They never called him in advance to talk about that. They just added them. And now when he's sitting in those seats, what does he look at? He looks at a beer vendor. A beer vendor is right on the end of the aisle. And so that was one thing. Now, this other thing, I think that what they did was they announced this American Airlines thing, and then they told them just, I don't know, a month or two ago, what the prices would be. And you're right, it's about $140,000. And I think he's not going to be able to do that. So he's completely disenchanted. He did not sell his tickets, though, during the World Series. He went to the games.
Why did he not sell them? Is he a wealthy guy?
He's been waiting for that for a long time.
He
didn't want to sell them.
Is he super wealthy?
Not super wealthy, but he's pretty well off. But
okay.
These are all split up between other family members. So
right.
He gets several games, and they've been doing this forever. So, but talk about loyal Cub fans. Can you think of another loyal Cub family like that? I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, no, he's not alone, though. If you have seats behind home plate or in Section 17, like you're talking about right behind the on-deck circle, you've had them forever. There's no way you're getting that seat. All those people, they never give those seats up. But now they're being put in a position because of their 1914 club. And by the way, nobody even wants to. None of those people want to go there and eat prime rib and have shrimp and drink all the vodka they can for $400. They just want their Cub ticket and they want to sit close. Like nobody wants that. Corporations do. But that's
exactly
what's
right. Yeah, he doesn't want any of that. So he wants to go to the games.
Yep, it's too bad. I mean, there are bigger issues in the world. I get that, but it's just like, come on, man. Why not have that club, right, and have a surcharge for it And wherever you're sitting in the ballpark, if you're sitting in 506 in sad-ass Michael Wester's seats in the corner, if you want to pay extra and you can have all you can eat and all you can drink, you can have it. I mean, they could have paid for it that way. Rather than, hey, all you people down here, these are the best seats, and you're paying $400 a ticket. $400 a ticket, $1,600 a game, times that by 81, you're at $130,000. Let me make sure my math is right on that, but I know it is. All right, thanks, Jordan. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200. I think Jordan got depressed by that call. I got depressed by that call. I'm out here fighting for the fan. I want that clear. I love you. You diehard fan. You. Let's see here. Four. Let's do the math here, Dan. We should have done this ahead of time. I blame you.
It's 400 times 81. Is that the deal?
1,600 times 81 equals 129.6. 129,600. $129,600. No, that's just, let's do it for one ticket, 400 times 81. That's, what is that, 30, I should be able to do that in my head. But 32,400. 32,400 for one person.
So,
but you can get hammered and take an Uber home, and you get parking. Of course, you shouldn't drive there because you're going to be drunk, or you didn't get full value. And by the way, people are really taking advantage of that. You really want people that are getting all you can drink right behind home plate?
That's a good point.
It's kind of a seems interesting. 312-981-7200. Mike, welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Hey, you know, I mean, the Cubs have been doing this scalping the tickets for a long time now.
They have.
They've been doing this premium ticket. You got the different games. Cardinal games are a lot more expensive than the games against the Expos or whoever that team is now. So, I mean, they've been scalping them and scalping them and scalping them. And, I mean, how much do you think it's going to – how tall do you think Hotel Zachary is supposed to be?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure on the logistics. Is that what they're calling it, Hotel Zachary? Is that a thing?
I thought that's what it was. When we were there for the playoffs, that's what was being built over there on the other side of Clark.
Hotel Zachary. Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't know that was the name. Okay, very good. Let's see. Developers divulge details on Hotel Zachary. I will peruse this article for you. What else you got, Mike?
Well, I'm just wondering, I mean, how much is it going to cost? I think the Ricketts are going to own that. So it's probably going to cost like $1,000 a night.
Well, they're not going to get that. I mean, that's going to be supply.
I mean, they're going to try.
Let's see here. The hotel being built in Wrigley won't be the Hotel Ernie or Hotel Brizzo. This is from Josh Noel. The Hotel Zachary.
According to the thing I'm looking at, they applied for a superstructure permit for a proposed six-story, 179-guest hotel room with ground floor commercial.
I wonder if that'll go through. I wonder if the mayor will see fit to say yes to six stories, which, by the way, I think the mayor should. And, like, all the – like, I support the Cubs completely with the rooftops and all that ridiculousness. I'm completely on the Cubs side. However – I think the guy that's sitting, who's got seats in 506 and 514, and if he wants to sell them, why do you care? I mean, come on.
Hey, my buddy and I went to, he had tickets to games 3, 4, and 5 in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our tickets through Vivid Tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy was really pushing the people. He says, I don't want any obstructed view. And they said, don't worry, you don't have an obstructed view. And when we got there for game 3, we had a nice pole right in our way. And now there is televisions up above. So you can sit there and watch the TV.
Well, was the pole, hold on a second, was the pole right in front of you, or were you like 8 rows back and there's a pole? Because there's a lot of poles at Wrigley Field, Mike.
Yes, you're right, there are. And the pole wasn't right in front of us. It was in the distance, but I mean, as far as unobstructed view, it's not an unobstructed view.
Yeah, there's very few. Any seat in the terrace reserve would be an unobstructed view. They can't do. I mean, come on. I hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying. I get it. But there's a reason why those seats are way less money. What'd you pay for that ticket?
Well, I'm thinking he paid around $900 a seat for Game 3.
$900 for Game 3 of the World Series.
Yep.
Right. Well, I mean, those prices were unprecedented. It's the first time they've been to the World Series, as we all know. So people are going to pay more for it. But $900, if you got the dough, they're in the World Series, worth it, I would say. They're in the World Series if you can afford that. It's like, I mean, let's say you were paying $50 for, would you rather go to 20 regular season Cub games for $50 or one World Series for $900? I'll go to the World Series game. That's how I would look at that.
Me too.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. You got it. You got it. 312-981-7200.
A quick bit of trivia before we go to weather and traffic here. The reason that it is being called Hotel Zachary is after Zachary Davis, the architect of Wrigley Field.
Did anybody know that Zachary Davis was the architect of Wrigley Field before you said that?
Until I read the thing. I mean, you can win yourself a beer next time you go. Like, hey, do you know why it's called Zachary? It's like the Nancy Faust trivia question.
I do love Nancy Faust. 312 texting in, is the pink hat guy behind home plate going to lose his tickets? I wonder what the pink hat guy's doing. I know the pink hat guy and his family a little bit. Pink hat guy ain't giving up his seats without a fight, I can tell you that. Covered a lot of ground tonight. Started out with me and Dan Shagru's relationship. We've been working together since 2007. He didn't realize that. Never done a show together. History's been made. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate you. And then we talked about why do you go to college as college football players are being yelled at because they're not playing in bowl games when they're actually protecting themselves and trying to fulfill their dream of getting a very high-paying job, which is one of the reasons, actually one of the more noble reasons that people go to college. Other people like myself go to college because they want to, because that's what they're told. This is the next thing you do. You go there, you have fun, you figure yourself out, you do wild things, you act like a moron, and then you come out with some degree that you'll never use. These dudes went to college with a purpose. I want to play in the NFL, and they got it done. So congrats to you, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. Don't worry about playing in the bowl game. You did enough for your school. Made them a lot of money. And for your teammates, they'll just have to get over it. And then we talked about everybody leaving Illinois. 38,000 plus people departed the state in 2016. More than Michigan, more than Indiana, more than any Midwest state. And I sort of made the point that I understand. It's cold, texts are high, and we had a tremendous caller from Las Vegas, Carson City, who just talked about his rollerblading life.
Paul the leg guy,
leggy Paul. And now we've been talking about the Cubs. Don't want you to sell tickets. Let's do one more call before we talk to Dave Plyer, who is in for Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Mark. I have to laugh. You're always trying to figure out the woes of the world, trying to get Roger his radio station in North Dakota.
See?
We figured out Rama Chapman was going to make $20,000 a pitch the last time I talked to you. I mean, the money is out there. I was just talking to Dan and saying, well, your buddy, who is it? I was just telling him the player that drives you the craziest on the Cubs.
Jason Hayward?
Yeah. They got to pay his $170-some million contract. And now Chris Bryant was the garage sale player this year. And you know, what was he, $1 million, I think he made for this year?
Chris Bryant's
salaries are going up. I agree that they are absolutely eviscerating the fans when it comes to ticket prices. I don't go to games anymore because they've outpriced me.
When's the last
time? There's no more fun than to go to a Cubs game and sit in the bleachers and watch a ball game.
Well, the bleachers, that's been over for a long time. But I will defend the Cubs on this, Dan. If you want to go in April and in May and in September or even during the middle of the year on a weeknight and you're willing to sit up top or in the terrace, those seats are still affordable. I mean, they are. Some of those faces are well under $20, which is a good deal as far as sports go. Like if you know, to go sit up top at the United Center for a Bulls game, it's $50-$60. Bears game, close to $100. Blackhawks, it's close to $100. I mean, it's just more expensive. There's less seats, there's less games. So for baseball, especially in April and May, if you're willing to go on the 500 level, you can get in for, I think it's about $14, which is a great deal. White Sox at $7. I mean, it's still probably the best deal in sports for those limited games. However, that doesn't mean that the guy that has the season tickets in 506 shouldn't be able to sell them. Come on, Cubs. You should not be that petty.
If I can figure it out, you will.
Right. Dan, next time we'll do some more math when you call in, all right?
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, pal. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. 312-981-7200. I was a little distracted. There was a very spirited conversation going on in the hallway out there. Never seen anybody at 4:55 talking at that level. Who was out there? I want to rat them out. That's terrible. I shouldn't do that. Am I supposed to talk to Dave Plyer right now?
You can, if you'd like.
Hey, it's Dave Plyer.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
What's going on, buddy?
Do you have a Cubs ticket story? I've been told that you do.
I do. I have a Cubs ticket story. So every year, probably for the last 4 or 5 years, I have bought a six-pack. It's a Sunday six-pack, which I do my show overnight, Saturday and Sunday, so I sleep in a little, and it's become tradition. So it's like this placeholder through the summer. I might go to a couple dozen games a season. But this was always, you know, the family knew that a game in May, June, two in July, August, September, we were going to the game. We were paying $20 for a Smoky Lincoln in old style.
There you go.
And we were going to run the bases after the game.
That's awesome.
Because that's part of that experience. That's all my kids know. So now I get a call from my guy at the Cubs about a week ago and says, well, we want to get this done before the end of the year because obviously tickets are going on sale in February and all this other stuff. So here's what we got. I said, well, just sign me up for the six-pack. No, there's no six-pack.
Six-pack gone?
Six-pack is gone.
We're not talking about your amazing stomach. We're talking about the six-pack on Sundays.
Yes, we are.
All right.
So the six-pack is now gone, I could get you a Friday pack. I said, when are the games on a Friday? Well, mostly at 1:20. I have a job. My kids are in school for part of that. I can't do a Friday pack. What do you got for families? What do we have here? Well, we got a 14-game pack. A 14-game pack. So when is that? Well, there's about a half dozen Saturday, Sunday games, but then everything else is a weeknight, and then we also have some day games in there as well. I said, so what are we doing for a family who has a job who has to pay for these tickets? Because that's really the point is, you know, most people work a 40-hour, 50-hour work week Monday through Friday, and they're not going to baseball games in the middle of the day. Unless they're on vacation, right?
Which is why there's every single game is a night game. But, yes, there are Friday day games, too. I got you. You want the Sunday family Dave Plyer six-pack.
That's right. That's right. And it's convenient. It's good for me. Well, now, you know, as you said, prices have raised 20%, whatever it is. And now they've added 8 games to my package. So now I'm paying 3 times, maybe 3.5 times what I was paying before just to secure some tickets.
Are you going to do it?
I did it.
You did it.
I did it.
They got you.
I'm an idiot.
Sucker, Dave.
I'm an idiot. I did it. But you know what? I want that placeholder during the summer. I want to have those games ready to go.
Right.
I want to know when I'm going. Because even the other couple dozen games outside of the playoffs that I went to, you know, I was going to go anyway, you know, so and spend the money. So I might as well do it, you know, at a valid ticket price. And if I have to sell them, by the way, I can sell them back. I own my own company. I'll sell them back and give them to a client or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm pro you making money, Dave. Cubs aren't listening.
No. I don't make money off
them. No, it's okay, Dave.
Sell them at face value. Come on now.
Right, of course. Where are the seats?
They are, oh gosh, now I don't even remember. They're in 215, I think.
And like a 215.
Yeah.
Good section.
Yeah, and it's in, you get a
third
nice
base
view.
Side.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
What's coming up on the opening bell, Dave?
I have no idea.
Well, you'll figure it out.
No, we got our thought leader this morning that Steve Grzanich talked to earlier in the week, and then Mike Hawkins is the chief financial officer for the Medical Cannabis Innovations Group. So we're talking baseball, and we're talking pot this morning, obviously.
Marijuana.
You got it.
All right. It's one of the reasons why I went to college,
he's
Dave.
Bringing in samples.
There we go. I will be listening on my way home. Thank
all right, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Plyer coming up in 1 minute on 720 WGN. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thanks to Dan Shagru, who made my night very easy and
thank
great
you.
To work with you. Dan, appreciate you.
Get up.
And who else do I want to say thank you to? I want to say thank you to Esmeralda Leon. I want to say thank you to Vic Vaughn, who's my hero in life for real, most interesting man alive. I want to say thank you to Andy Mazur, who looks like he's coming up and doing sports. What's up, Andy Mazur? I see you. And a programming reminder, I will be with you on the Friday overnight. Friday overnight, we are going to have lots and lots of fun. I have no idea what will happen, but hopefully it'll be as fun as tonight. It's great to be here in for Nick D, who is back. When does Nick D back?
He will be back January 2nd.
January 2nd. There you go.